and do my graveyard
sing. Then you can mash.
Doing the monster mash with you on this beautiful Valentine's Day.
Marty, why did you play that song today? There must be thousands of love songs.
Well, it's kind of a love song. All the monsters enjoying each other's company, you know, dancing, holding their evil in check.
You played the wrong record, didn't you?
Why are you doing this to me?
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how are you, my friend?
I am very well, Terry, very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're on episode 15 already.
I know. I was just looking up what's left to record. And there's some great ones in there, but we are really, like, steaming along.
We are. We're steamrolling
only
here.
What? After this one and the next one, there's only 6 ones left.
We are really flying now. And this episode, I must say, was one that I didn't even really think of. I just thought, oh, yeah, I remember this one, but I think I completely underestimated this episode, but I'll save it all for when we actually get into it.
Please do.
But if I may start off the proceedings with a bit of trivia, Terry.
Sure. In fact, I'm going to ask you, why don't you tell us what episode we're talking about
this week? Oh, of course. That would help. We are talking about I Love Lisa, which is the 15th episode of season 4. Aired on February 11th, 1993, 25 years ago.
You my God.
And it was, as was often the case around this time, the highest rated show on Fox that week. And a bit of trivia for you. It was...
Hit me.
First of all, the story was from a personal episode in Al Jean, showrunner or whatever he is to The Simpsons. It originated
it
from...
seems like he's been there forever. Sorry, just...
Like a senior consultant or something. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what happened
They're
to him in third grade? Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
Because of the way it's deteriorated. But anyway.
I don't think they have very much hands-on stuff to do with the writing these days. But
probably
yeah,
just
like
counting their checks.
Sorry, go on. Anyway.
Yeah, he received a Valentine from a girl that said, "I choose you." And he told partner, said Mike Rice, about it, and they thought it'd be a good idea for an episode where Lisa could give a Valentine to Ralph. And interestingly, I didn't notice this at the time, Ralph and Chief Wiggum were not established as being related. This is the first episode where it establishes that they're father and son.
I'm glad you brought it up, because when we did Camp Krusty,
we
talked about how throwing out the boxes of the parcels or whatever, the care packages, and she's like, "Wiggum," and it's like Ralph's like, "My insulin," a completely different voice.
Different voice completely, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then
what man could tame her?
Very Wrigley.
There you go.
So then I guess that he was already established then.
Yeah, but I think this is the first time where they nailed it down.
Yeah, like, where they confirm it.
He'd been floating around or whatever with the surname Wigan, but yeah.
And it was as simple as they considered both characters to be fat and dumb. So that it was a good... Just kind of mean. Which is, I guess, why they paired them together. It got a Nielsen rating of 14.9. Which, as I said, was the highest rated show on Fox. And it received a lot of positive reviews. Entertainment Weekly regarded it as the 5th best Simpsons episode ever.
Up until that point, or ever?
I think ever full stop.
Oh.
Yeah. And let me see. Now, there's a book that I really must get because it's always mentioned in, like, you know, how the episode was received, which is that I can't believe it's a bigger and better updated unofficial Simpsons guide. And it's always quoted as, like, what the authors from that book thought. So it's obviously a fairly well-known book that I just...
Maybe
I don't
for
know,
season
never
five,
heard.
Huh?
Yeah, maybe.
Just on the list. Buy the DVDs. Get that book.
Get that book.
Get that book.
That's going to be the title of our book.
Pointing after a book running away. Get that book.
And it's just Chief Wiggum chasing the duck with the badge, only the the book is in his mouth. There's a bit of controversy in the episode because of the flashback for Vietnam.
Yeah, I read that too.
Where he's like, you know, basically. And when you think about it, I guess in 93, for what was perceived to be a kid's show, it might be kind, like, I wouldn't say controversial, but, you know, it might be kind of like, whoa, just having someone getting just, like, riddled with shots. Like, you know, one of those just like, Johnny!
I never fully understood it, I guess, as a child. I mean, I don't think this is a kid's show.
Yeah.
We watched it as kids, I guess. Like, but I never really understood, like, the whole Vietnam thing.
Yeah. You know, it certainly never affected me as a kid. Like,
no, absolutely not. But you know, I guess we're not.
We're not Vietnam vets.
No, we're not the country affected by it either. Like, it's not part of our history at all. Like,
yeah, exactly. But there was apparently some Vietnam vets who were like, you know, do you think this is funny? And the staff sort of ignored it and saying it was an obvious reference to Apocalypse Now. And in contrast, Mark Groening, brother of Matt Groening, who was himself a vet, loved it. Which is sort of like, well,
such a made up name.
Well, of course he did. He's like, no, it's not Matt, it's Mark Groening. But it's kind of light on the trivia, I guess, this week. That's kind of all I've got.
I got a couple of
doozies.
Nuggets. Yeah, not at all doozies, but apparently at the time, a technique the staff used to come up with stories and ideas was to think, what holiday haven't we done yet on The Simpsons? Or what have we not done lately?
Huh.
And they said that they'd done several Halloween and Christmas episodes. They liked the idea of doing a Valentine's Day episode and then rolling into President's Day.
And
the other bit of, I mean, it's not controversy, I guess, but it's something that I never picked up on as a kid was the scene with Chief Wiggum and Krusty at the adult movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
And Krusty thinks he's going to get arrested is a reference to Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman's arrest
oh, really?
For masturbating at a porno.
Had that happened by then? I thought that was later on.
Yeah. No, that had happened at that time, yeah.
I like the fact that they even point out in the episode, that story is not suitable for children.
Yeah, I keep my pants on this version.
Well, that's interesting.
And it's the first episode to have a censor bleep meant to, you know, censor profanity.
Oh, really?
You know, when Sideshow Mel is whacked out on Wowie. So
oh, yeah.
They use the bleep. And I'm trying to think what else. First appearance of Bill and Hillary Clinton in the series.
Ooh. Come to think of it, this episode, there is a lot more adult themes in this episode. Now that I sort of think of them all, you know, you can see how it would definitely be more geared towards adults around this time.
And the last bit of trivia that I have is the clip of Krusty with Robert Frost, blah.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say. When he's reading his poem, Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening.
Yeah.
The way he's reading the bit of the poem after Krusty dumps the fake snow on his head, when he says his line, we discussed this and I said no, it's speaking in the same meter as the poem, which I thought was a nice touch.
Oh, so he sort of is talking as if he's still like in the same beat as the poem.
It's as if it's part of the poem almost, like we discussed.
I never picked up on that. That's interesting.
So,
see, that was why they were so brimming with ideas and things like that, that they could throw in those things, you know, like just these little subtle things. Like we were talking about the last one, where for a split second you can see what's written on the list, but only if you pause it. But just to go through that effort of just making these little fine touches, I like it. But
so shall we get into the episode proper?
Please.
Now, can I ask you, what was your couch gag this week?
My couch gag, Jesus, I can barely remember. It was they were already sitting on the couch and they were just sort of looking at them.
Oh, okay. Mine was the... Da, da, da,
again!
Da, 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 da. Well, we did say it was used a couple of times.
But already this season?
But it was that. Yeah.
Huh.
No, I don't know, like, but I noticed something in that when it, you know, it all sort of breaks down and the walls come apart and stuff like that, like that actually I never noticed it before. It's like Santa's little helper is in the background doing like a load of tricks. He's like on a beach ball or something, like,
yeah,
rolling back and forth behind where the couch was or whatever like that. Like,
see, I did notice that only for the fact that it actually annoyed me, because that was the only thing that wasn't symmetrical. If I recall, everything on the left was exactly as it was on the right, and there's the dog in the middle, sort of in like half turned, half he's in the middle, but he should either be just completely facing the camera, like left arm out, exactly the same. You know what I mean?
All right, yeah.
If it's gonna be symmetric, it was just that little. My OCD kicked in when I seen that. Like, can they just have had the dog nice and symmetrical? But still.
Yeah. Okay.
On that bombshell.
It starts off with a nice little heart wipe, I guess. It opens up on a. And we get a KBBL tower. And we get a monster mash. And we get our favorite presenters, Bill and Marty, doing a monster song, which is on this beautiful Valentine's Day.
I love the fact, I think it was in, was it the Mr. Plow one, where they just keep airing their dirty laundry in public. Like, we heard it at the start of this episode, but it's one of those, just like the whole time he's trying to dig himself out of the hole. It's like, why are you doing this to me?
It's kind of a love song. All the monsters enjoying each other's company, dancing, holding their evil in check.
Holding their evil in check. Yeah, really reaching.
Really reaching there. Bart is putting his touches onto his, you know, love heart candies.
Yeah.
You stink.
Classic Bart Simpson.
No. I was enjoying it, actually. I was like, oh, they're so blatantly obvious. It kind of...
Yeah.
So we jump over, and another actually great little gag, that we jump over to the retirement castle, and there's a cardboard Santa on the bulletin board, and then they pin up a cardboard Cupid that's the exact same face. Like, it's just
they just staple it right over it.
Staple it over it, like. And I was thinking about it there. It's like, whenever they do these vignettes of the retirement castle, it's so fucking depressing.
I know, it really is.
These little clips are like, oh god, these poor old people.
The fact that, like, one of them gets a Valentine from his granddaughter, and it's like, Abe or whatever is like, can I have the envelope?
Yeah.
Like for, that desperate that the envelope of someone else's Valentine's card would suffice.
Yeah.
That is just sad.
We jump over to Moe's Tavern, and we get a from your secret admirer. God, no.
Now, Terry, I'm going to stop you here, because the next scene, we don't think we've ever had a clip this early in the episode, but I got such a laugh from this one, I have to say, that we will play the clip and come back to you after this.
And this is for my Huggy Bug in honor of this special day.
Special day? Oh, what have I forgotten now? Now, don't panic. Is it bacon day? Nope, that's crazy talk. She's getting impatient. Take a stab at it. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Woohoo!
I'll bet you have a lot of things planned, eh, Dad?
Kind of. Nobody makes a big deal out of Valentine's Day.
If you think I'm cuddly and you want my company, come on, wifey, let me know.
Oh! Hey, Dad, why don't you give Mom her present?
What a nice idea, son. It's, upstairs, on the second floor of our house. I'll just go get it.
I wish there actually was a bacon day.
I know.
But then every day could be bacon day, I guess.
It is in this house.
A thing that always stuck with me, because again, we get like Homer and his brain having the conversation.
I love that inner monologue that he has.
Yeah, it's like three in a row now. They're trotting it out. He's like, is it bacon day? No, it's crazy talk. He's like, take a stab at it. Like, happy Valentine's Day.
And the
like, at the buzzer for the 3 points.
I know. One shot to get it right. Yeah. And of course, Bart being Bart, just like in the Mr. Plough, where he's like, you are fully covered by the city. You know, whatever. It's like, I bet you got lots of things planned, eh, Dad? But like the whole, I don't know what makes it for me. It's the fact that like when he goes, for whatever reason as well, the fact that he says, on the second floor of our house. Like, I don't know why that line just tickled me. But it's the footsteps that, like, he's running into one room, closing the door, running to the next room. And just the whole image, it's a shame that people listening can't see it, although I'm sure they've seen it before. But just the whole image of him falling off the drain pipe, I just was absolutely cracking up when I was watching that today.
The two bits that I really liked were, you hear the window open, like...
Yeah.
And then when he falls off the drain pipe, he gets up, looks in the window at everybody looking out at him, and then he runs off. Like,
doesn't even explain himself.
Yeah. Old Flanders is giving Maud a bit of a serenade there. You're a Rod Stewart fan, right?
Big time. I like the way Ned Flanders just like completely changes. Even like the word sexy is too risque for him to sing. It's like, and you think I'm cuddly. Like, you know.
Like, ow, 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 ow.
That horn dog, Ned Flanders.
So Homer hightails it to the Quickie Mart. And he says he needs a Valentine's gift for Marge. And Apu pulls out a box of chocolates that has love on it. And it always stuck with me, even when I was a kid. I was like, why is there a load of dust on this box of chocolates?
I guess...
Like, is it his emergency stash to gouge the customers that he knows have forgotten?
I guess that's what it was. That's what I took from it, that he sort of just has this, or he's had this for ages, but he's just been waiting for some poor schmuck to come in on Valentine's Day.
Of course, it's Homer.
Yeah, like
it is highway robbery. $100.
Yeah, it's like, I won't pay it. Oh, I think you will. It's like, all right, here.
And you know, they get the gag of the fact that there's a giant discount supermarket right next door.
I love the fact that you never even see it as well, where like you just hear Apu thinking, if he discovers the discount supermarket next door, all is lost.
All right, mate. All right. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
We need to... What's the name of that documentary? Something about Apu or something?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
We're going to be featured on the sequel on that now.
Two Irish podcasts.
Controversy on an Irish podcast.
So we are jumping over to the school. And they want to exchange Valentine's in Miss Hoover's class, and she's a interesting character.
Miss Hoover, yeah.
I actually really like her. The older I get, like,
it's just like one of these teachers who just is not passionate about her job at all.
You know, she's like having a bit of bourbon in the coffee at 9 o'clock in the morning.
She just doesn't give a shit. Like, yeah, she's just getting through the day.
Yeah, so they want to exchange Valentines, and she says, no, we're going to construct paper mailboxes to store the Valentines. And to which Lisa asks, isn't that just pointless busy work? Like, bullseye. Yeah, crack it. And then we get our first little intro of Ralph, who, when I watched it, I was like, I actually really prefer this Ralph to later seasons Ralph, of like, sure, he's a bit of an idiot or whatever, but yeah, like, he's actually a person and a character. Like, he's a real child, as opposed to
he just becomes like a stereotype
machine, like, you know.
Yeah, where you just get Ralph to throw out like the last few lines of a scene. This is actually like a bit of depth to him.
He becomes unbelievably stupid,
yeah,
as it goes on. Whereas this one here, it's like, he's not allowed to use scissors. I do like, she's like, when the kids start laughing, it's like, the children are like, a right to laugh at you, Ralph.
Yeah, I know. But I find they do that with a lot of characters in a lot of shows, yeah, where, like, for some reason, Joey in Friends comes to mind, where, like, he had a lot more depth in the early ones, and then it's like, right, he's the funny one, his whole shtick is he's not that smart, let's make him overly stupid, and then they just become one-dimensional. But,
the perfect example of that in Friends was when he, there was something to do with, like, Phoebe was doing a pigeon voice.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, where's that pigeon?
Yeah, exactly. Like, come on.
Talking pigeon. Like, how is he functioning in New York City if he actually believes that? Like,
I know.
Anyway, she says to take out the red crayons, and we get another, Miss Hoover, I don't have a red crayon.
Why not?
I ate it. And then we get the...
Let me stop you right there, Terry, because the clips are coming thick and fast. You stop right there. The clips are coming thick and fast in this episode. We have one of our favorites, Principal Skinner, on the PA. Another classic.
Seymour.
We will play it and not say it.
Attention, everyone. This is Principal Skinner. Some student, possibly Bart Simpson, has been circulating candy hearts featuring crude, off-color sentiments. Well, let me tell you something. Valentine's Day is no joke. Sending your chick a Valentine, huh?
Yep.
Johnny. Johnny! Johnny!
Cool, I broke his brain.
For some reason, I got a real kick out of, it's like, some student, possibly Bart Simpson, has been circulating candy hearts. He just completely, yeah, like, he just couldn't do that in a normal school. Just completely insinuate who you think it might be already. It's like, some student, possibly Bart Simpson. The whole Vietnam thing and everything like that, I just thought that was such a great scene. Like,
yeah, it really, like, means more as an adult.
Yeah,
but like, I remember even like in school, like getting in trouble for doing a Johnny, Johnny, Johnny.
Why did you say that in school?
It was in some class or something. We were all sort of messing about or whatever. I don't know.
Religion or something.
I think it was history, but it was near the end of school term, and it was like something to do with like he took my book, Johnny. Johnny! It's like, Terry Toner, be quiet. Like, ah.
Brilliant. Sorry, miss.
Yeah.
But like,
pure second year, I'd say. Like,
you have two classic Skinner scenes in the last few episodes. Like the whole, like, oh, there's mother now. In the last one.
I'd
and say then
your suit doesn't fit anymore.
And then the Vietnam stuff is just like more layers to Principal Skinner as the episodes go on.
Deeply damaged psyche.
Yeah.
The educator. Like.
Just makes them all the funnier.
Yeah. And then Miss Hoover says, you may exchange Valentines. And to which Ralph says, I glued my head to my shoulder.
Yeah.
And then we get a little montage of everybody exchanging Valentines and Ralph doesn't get one. And even the sound of it is like,
I know, heartbreaking.
Oh, Ralph. Ralph, like.
Genuinely devastated.
Yeah. And then Lisa, being the good egg that she is.
Yeah. But if I can have a slight issue, if I could take slight issue with the fact, unless she had the card already as a sort of a template, she sure does draw that very sophisticated, witty card very quickly. She just basically scribbles on a piece of paper and it's then...
I got the impression that that was a pre-made card and she scribbled out somebody's name and wrote on Ralph's name. Okay,
well that makes more sense.
Like, yeah, no, that was the thing I got. I didn't think she made that scratch. Like, if anything, that she brought in a lot of blank cards.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
That was the impression I got.
Well, that makes more sense.
Because even like with the B one later on, spoilers. spoilers for something from
25 years ago.
24 years ago.
It's the statute of limitations on spoilers.
But anyway, it's a little train card that says, "You choose me."
And there's a picture of a train on it.
He seemed very happy with that. And then we jump down to the cafeteria. It's like, all right, special holiday meal. And we get whatever it says, Army Surplus or something on the truck when it's pulling into the back. And he's like, where do you want these beef hearts?
On the floor.
Doesn't look very clean.
Just do your job, hard boy.
And he pulls a lever. I love how there's like a little delay.
Yeah.
You hear like a...
You hear them coming free, like, yeah, from like the truck. It's that squelching noise or something like that that makes it. The Simpsons do a great...
sound bite or sound effect or whatever. But, like, it's the same noise as a squash ball getting hit. Yeah. But if there's loads of them being thrown at the same time, like...
Yeah. Yeah, I can picture that. Yeah, they have that for so many different things, and it's like, what a great effect! Like,
yeah,
just adds to it, like the grossness of the whole thing. And plus, I love again the fact that one, the guy doesn't give a shit about the fact that he's putting them on the floor. She's like the nurse and the lunch lady; she doesn't care.
That's two paychecks this way.
The school is just like, they're just, everyone's just getting through it, like on the floor.
Yeah. So then Bart starts complaining of chest pains and his baboon heart.
Ew.
Throws it out on the table. It's a heart. The kids are all, But I do like, because it's like the next scene is just like getting out of school. And it's like, yeah, they don't need to dwell on it. This little jerk.
Yeah, Bart being Bart.
Yeah. Always stirring that pot.
Classic Nick Hogan, always stirring the pot. Yeah,
absolutely. So, this is here's a little background for this part of the episode. When I first discovered Napster, try and download Simpsons clips. And I don't know why, but this one was just one I always had, where it's like, can I walk you home,
Valentine?
It's like, that Valentine sure was funny. It said, choose me, and there's a picture of a train. And then he's like, do you like stuff?
That line gets used so often these days.
Yeah.
Do you like stuff?
The clip that always ended for me was like, well, the doctor said I wouldn't have so many nosebleeds if I kept my finger out of there.
I seen, actually, when I was reading up on this episode, that one or two sort of, you know, either journalists or whatever point that as like being one of their favorite lines in the whole show. And I think, like, it's funny, like, but I don't know if I'd go that far.
I like it. And
for Ralph, it's, you know,
they refer back to it in a few years as well later on. So
do they? What do they refer to it as?
Or Chief Wiggum's like, remember, Ralphie, if your nose is bleeding, it means you're picking too much. Not enough.
I like the fact that as well, Lisa is like the, she's kind of like the one, not that she would be on like Ralph's side, but like she's the one who's sort of like trying to be nice, but like is just not interested, you know, when they get to her house, like, well, here's my house. And I love the fact that when she runs into the house, like, you just have, again, it's like that scene where Smithers and Mr. Burns are being shot up through the roof in the background. It, like, it just has Bart and Homer or whatever in the sitting room, and Lisa's just running past them, like, and that's her bit done.
Yeah, it sort of seamlessly glides you into the next part of it, and it's
love
like...
love it.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh.
So, we get... Is it they're watching Itchy and Scratchy?
Yeah. Now, what did you think of this, Itchy and Scratchy?
I was like, this is so stupid. But, you know, didn't like it at all. And then it's like the bit at the end where he looks at the newspaper. It's like, you need a heart to live.
Yeah, it's like, so.
It's like, oh, that like, huge that, laugh out of me.
It's just a realization.
Like, this mouse has like reached into his chest, torn out his heart, given it to him as a present. He's like, oh, thank you so much. Puts it on his shelf. It's only when he sits down and reads the front page.
Front, like, yeah, the headline, front page, you need a heart to live. And Itchy is a jerk. Scratchy gave him a nice Valentine's card, and he just rips his heart out of his chest in return.
I saw the, it was on TV over the weekend, maybe, but it was the one where Marge is on, or she's, you know, crusading to get Itchy and Scratchy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, when you hear their voices.
Yeah.
And the third bowl of porridge was just right. Really unnerving.
I know. You look like you have something to say. Do you?
But those voices are fine, I think, where it's, you know.
But what do you mean? Did they have a different voice?
Their different voices was like, lemonade, like. You know, just really like he's like rocking beside him and one of them's asleep and he's like reading him a bedtime story with those voices and just the way they were drawn.
It is unnerving. Like, they're like aliens or something.
So we're back to Krusty, and he says, don't forget to watch his 29th anniversary show featuring clips like this one of Sideshow Mel whacked out on Wowie Sauce. I love this clip. Like, everybody's always kissing your ass. Well, I'm not afraid to tell you, you're a beep. But I love the fact that it's 29th anniversary show. Yeah. You know, such an arbitrary number.
Couldn't wait till the 30. Typical Krusty, cashing in as soon as possible.
And Bart says he'd give anything to go to that show, to which Homer says, I'd sell my firstborn son. Hey!
You'll do as you're told.
Did you notice anything with the animation there?
Oh, excuse me. Oh, excuse me, Terry. No, I didn't notice. What is it?
They sort of slip back into season 2 or 3.
Really?
Like, it kind of looks like the same animation used in the episode when Lisa is picking all the football team wins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like because in the next scene, like Homer looks completely different. I just like.
I wonder why that was. Jarring.
I think it was just, you know, stock footage or whatever like that they had.
Could they not have just quickly animated a scene of Homer and Bart on the couch?
But like most of the scene of Homer and Bart is the season 4 animation.
Yeah,
it was just like
maybe they need to add in an extra little.
That probably thing that was probably that those lines there like.
Excuse me.
Like, you'll do as... It's when he says you'll do as you're told.
Yeah, they had to have some sort of animation for it.
Says, hey, like, yeah, it's just... They probably had it there. Well, we cut over to the kitchen, and Lisa's telling Marge that... that Ralph thinks she likes him, but she only gave him a Valentine's because she felt sorry for him.
Ah, sweet pity. Where would my love life have been without it?
But what do you say to a boy? Let him know you're not interested.
Let me handle this, Marge. I've heard them all. I like you as a friend. I think we should see other people. I know speak English.
Okay, I get the idea.
I'm married to the sea. I don't want to kill you, but I will. I'm married to the sea was one that tickled me most.
I like that one. I don't want to kill you, but I will.
Yeah, I know.
And last resort, Cantwell.
I am not gay, but I'll learn.
Very good. So Lisa says she thinks Ralph is nice, but she's just not ready for this. Does he understand? He says, I guess so. So all's good, right?
All is good. And then Ralph, of course, goes to his parent for some advice, which I must say is one of my favorite scenes that I can think of in The Simpsons. So we will play the clip and we will come back to you after this.
Dad, how do you get a girl to like you?
Son, whether you want to win a girl or crack a nut, the key is persistence. Keep at it and never lose your cool. Oh, come on, you stupid... Let that be a lesson to the rest of you, nuts.
Okay, Dad, I'll be persistent. Is that how you got, Mom?
Well, son, never underestimate the appeal of a man in uniform. Oh, yeah.
So, what's funnier? Chief Wiggum firing a gun at a nut, or his gut exploding out of his shirt?
Oh, it's just all so good. Like, it's first of all the fact that he's like, it's the clicking of the gun as well. It's like, God, come on, you stupid! Like, straight away he gets annoyed. But the line, the fact that there's a delay between the rest of you and nuts is what I absolutely crack up. Like, it's probably one of my top three, like, most laugh out loud sort of scenes in The Simpsons, like, where he's just like, let that be a lesson to the rest of you, nuts.
Like, he has such disdain
for it. He does.
Like, oh, you nuts.
But the sound of his buttons popping and all that on his uniform.
Oh yeah.
Quality scene.
I like the, he's like, well, son, where do you want to win a girl or crack a nut? Like, just that line there in itself.
They both go hand in hand.
Yeah. So then we get Krusty telling the boys and girls there's only 4 days till his anniversary shows. 29 years, and when he came on, they said he wouldn't last a week. Do you want to know where those reviewers are now, Andy?
All dead.
How you doing down there, fellas?
The fact that he stomps on the ground. He's like, how you doing down there, fellas? It's like, he's so unprofessional.
He's like, anyway, here's a clip. And it's him with the monkey. And it said, now, why do they call this a urine monkey?
I just found out. It's like the monkey. I love any scene like that where it's like there's an animal on someone's head like that and he's just clearly uncomfortable. He's just like, so why do they call this a urine monkey? Ugh, I just found out.
But I love then it cuts to Bart and he's like, that's funny for so many reasons. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. So Bart and Lisa want to go to the show. They say, no, we won't be able to get those tickets. Our parents would have to be part of Springfield's cultural elite. And then Homer enters. Can you believe Flanders threw out a perfectly good toothbrush? And then he just starts going to town with
brushing his teeth. Ew.
No water, no toothpaste.
And again, like, this must be, like the next scene must be some sort of, like, I mean, the fact that Ralph knocks on the door. And first of all, Homer's so dismissive. He's like, she's in the can. Go away.
Yeah.
He's like, I'd do anything for Lisa. And he immediately takes advantage of this child. Has him up on his roof, like, tarring the roof. He's like, Mr. Simpson, the tar fumes are making me dizzy. And he's like, so uninterested. He's like, yeah, they'll do that.
They'll do that. That's, like, my favorite line reading of the episode. Him having the beer. Yeah, they'll do that.
Like, so, like, yeah. He doesn't care about his safety at all.
Yeah. So then we go back over to school and it's the new kid that we've never seen before. An actor. Brian Arnold of Springfield Elementary.
That guy always got the lead.
It's Rex.
Interesting little bit of trivia about Rex. The guy who voiced Rex was the same guy who wrote the episode Homer's Triple Bypass.
Really?
Can't think of his name offhand, but yes. He also...
Is that Dan Castellaneta, no?
No, it's not. It's... Hold on, let me see if I can get it here. No, I can't get it. It'll take me too long. But it's... Yeah, he wrote Homer's Triple Bypass, and he also voices a character later in the episode, which I will point out when we get to it. But I just thought that was interesting. Just this guy sort of out of nowhere.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought so too, but from what I was reading, apparently it's by someone else, some like writer and actor sort of guy.
Very interesting. Very, very
interesting. I love the fact that he's like a Shakespearean, like, dearest Martha, I have yearned to be on the dollar bill, and with your help, this I shall achieve. Sincerely, George Washington.
And then I like how it's like Martha Washington will be played by Lisa Simpson, and George Washington will be played by Ralph Wiggum. What? This is a travesty. Everyone knows I'm the best actor in this ridiculous school.
Sit down, Rex.
I will not sit down. Somebody's gotten to you, you deceitful cow.
That's absurd, Rex. Ralph won the part fair and square.
And then it's like the...
She gives the cops the signal.
That's the signal. Take the boot off the car, boys.
So much corruption in Springfield that I never picked up on as a kid.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking at it here, buddy. I don't see anybody for voicing. Anybody else?
Let me see here. Hold on. Let me just confirm this, because the last thing I'd want to do now is to give our listeners some false information.
The only guest star I see in this episode are Lunch Lady Doris, Miss Hoover, Janie Powell, but she's always in it.
I see here Michael Carrington is his name.
No, that's Sideshow Raheem.
And Rex. Rex.
Oh, right. Excellent.
So, and he...
Excellent.
And he... Oh, hello. You know I love a good pun, Terry. Yeah, that's what I thought was interesting, that he voiced Sideshow Raheem, who appears later in the episode, and also Rex. And he also co-wrote Homer's Triple Bypass. And he also had voice work in Homer and Apu and a drill sergeant in some other episodes. So he's been in a few different... different things, but I don't think he's been in much else, to be honest, in general. So this might be his claim to fame.
He's a producer on Martin Lawrence Show.
Oh boy.
Jamie Foxx Show. That's So Raven. And that's so Raven. He was in The Critic.
The Critic?
Yeah.
What's that?
Jay Sherman. No.
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, where are we? We are off on a tangent here.
They take the thing off Miss Hoover's car because she's given the part to Ralph.
So we're back at the Simpson residence, and Lisa is worried that Ralph is going to embarrass her in front of the whole school because they're in the play together, and it's a package from Ralph at the door.
Malibu Stacy convertible.
Look in the trunk.
You must mean trunk.
Like, Bart's there. It's tickets to the Krusty anniversary show.
I love the gag there where he's like, oh, this isn't fair. I'm 10 times the Krusty fan you are. I even have the Krusty home pregnancy test. Big writing on the box, may cause birth defects. I just, like, every time, like, something about, like, when I'm older and watching these, just, like, any of these, like, Krusty cashing in, like, it's just funny to me.
It's like, is my lip supposed to be bleeding? Probably. So basically, Bart says he's gonna go with Ralph disguised as Lisa. What if he wants to hold hands?
I'm prepared to make that sacrifice.
What if he wants a kiss?
I'm prepared to make that sacrifice.
But what if he...
You don't want to know how far I'll go.
So then Lisa asks Homer, is it right to take things from people that you don't like? It's like, sure it is, honey. You do mean stealing, don't you? And he's putting up a degree from Oral Roberts University to Ned Flanders.
Just crudely crossing his name out. Yeah.
And then she says, well, it's not as bad as stealing, but my conscience is bothering me.
Your conscience? Don't let that pushy little weenie tell you what to do.
Homer, that's a terrible thing to say.
Oh, shut up.
Yes, sir. And it's that voice. He's back. Droopy.
Droopy. Yes, it was him. Let's get him, Millis.
Yes, sir.
The next scene, Terry, if I may, we have a clip of... It's a funny clip. I'll just play the clip. It's self-explanatory. We'll play the clip and we'll come back to you after this.
I am so glad you Cho-Cho chose to come.
I think you should give that a rest, Ralph. Chief Wickham, how'd you ever get these tickets?
Krusty knows how to play ball. Nothing beats a good porno movie.
Chief Wickham, is this a bust?
Yeah. That's just what it is, a bust.
That story isn't suitable for children.
Really? I keep my pants on in this version.
Ew. It's the Krusty the Clown 29th Anniversary Show!
Hey!
Thank you! Hey, Mr. President! I campaigned for the other guy, but I voted for you! You know, I started this show so long ago, the Ayatollah only had a goatee. Ha ha! What's the matter? Don't you people read the papers? Let's look at some clips.
You will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow.
Hey, Frosty! You want some snow, man?
We discussed this and I said no.
Now here's a clip.
I love the fact, like we were talking about at the start of the episode, the fact that he chooses just to openly tell her about that he's watching a porno in one of those X-rated theaters.
Yeah.
She clearly knows that it's not appropriate. Like,
not that beats a good porno movie.
And then Krusty, like something about Krusty lately that I'm just like, he's always been funny, but like the fact that he'll just openly, like, if something's not going right, you know, like where he's like, the Ayatollah only had a goatee, and then like the applause sign goes, and not only is everyone sitting there, but they're sitting there with like frowns, frowns on their faces.
The noise of the applause.
I know. Arr. Don't you people read the papers? And it's a line that I use all the time as well. Of we discussed this, and I said no.
Yeah.
I just think that's such a funny line.
So after that, we see Krusty rocking out to The Doors from 1973. What was I on? And Ralph asks Lisa, do you want a bite of his ice cream? So she says no, but Chief Wiggum is saying it this way, boy.
Whoops. Just falls right in her lap. Nothing gets chocolate out. See?
And then we get Krusty talking about how he's worked with some marvelous second bananas over the years.
Second bananas.
Love that, second bananas.
Now, this scene wasn't actually in my episode. Was it in yours?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It wasn't in mine at all, that with Sideshow Raheem.
He's like, the script says I'm supposed to bonk you with this. Like, I wouldn't. He's like, right on. He's like, angry young man.
Now for my favorite part of the show, and also the fact that he's like, he's clearly just reading that, like, he doesn't even know what line is next, but it's apparently his favorite part of the show.
What's
like,
that say?
Talk to the audience. Oh, this is always death. All right.
But it is like that when we were watching him in Little Miss Springfield, and it's like, Now I get a chance to interact with their personality. Personally. He's like clearly misread it, but he's out the road.
Yeah.
So, of course, he sees Lisa and Ralph. And I really like the way he's like, "What's your name, son?"
Ralph.
And, like, "And is this your girlfriend, Ralph?"
Yes, I love Lisa Simpson. And when I grow up, I want to marry her.
And the lovely Lisa actually like, "No, now you listen to me. I don't like you. I never liked you. And the only reason I gave you that stupid Valentine's because nobody else would." And then a great bit of thing where it just zooms out and it's like, oh, they're watching the replay on the TV.
Yeah, Bart's loving it.
Yeah, you can actually pinpoint the second when his heart rips in half. And they do such a good job of like, yeah, you're actually right.
His voice like This reminds me, did you ever buy a Valentine's Day card for anyone when you were a teenager or anything like that? Or a kid?
Maybe once.
I once bought a Valentine's card, and This is how embarrassing it was. Because this is when I was maybe 11. I was buying a card for my mom.
On the cusp of puberty.
Yeah, I was buying a card for my mom.
Buying a card for your mom.
I was a kid. but that's almost what the girl behind the counter, because it was a fairly cute girl, I remember, and I just had like a Valentine's card. I was like, "Can I get this, please?" And she goes, "Oh, is this for your mommy?" I was so embarrassed. I was like, "No." Oh, I never recovered.
moving swiftly on. We're at the park, at the pond, and Ralph is feeding the ducks, and he says, "At least you guys are my friends." And then they all
just leave.
Just go away. And then Wiggum is like, "Son, I know just how you feel. You got a great little girl, and the world's your oyster."
Like, no, like the exact opposite. She made a fool out of me.
Hey, come to think of it, she did. Well, she didn't reckon with the awesome power of the chief of police. Where did I put my badge?
Hey, that duck's got it.
Oh, come on. Come on, give it back. I need it.
It's the waddle after the duck as well. Yeah. It's such a classic one. He's never looked so round. He's just like,
yeah, I mean, as it goes on in later series, he looks...
I know.
So we get Homer driving along, and he gets pulled over by the same Chief Wiggum. "You got a tail light out there."
"Where?"
"Right there."
"You know, one day honest citizens are going to stand up to you crooked cops."
"They are? Oh no, have they set a date?" So we are jumping over to the school for the George Washington President's Day play. And we get Willie and we get Skinner discussing what's going to go on the evening. And basically Skinner is saying, "This orange drink is the only way to recoup our terrible losses from fire drill."
I love this.
"I just don't know what went wrong."
"You open the show with a fire drill and everyone cleared out."
Like, so mother was right. It was my fault.
Water it down some more.
I like how that's how he's saying it. Okay, water it down some more.
I love this back and forth that, like, it's them at the orange drink stand, and he's just desperate for people to buy orange drink. It's like, keep watering it down. "I've watered it down as far as she'll go. I cannot water no more." It almost seems, I noticed in this scene, like, Willie was very un-Willie like. Did you notice that? Like, he was more of a, like, he was still a Scottish stereotype, but he didn't seem like Willie in this scene. It was kind of
that was supposed to be, you know, the Star Trek thing.
Yeah, I got that. But, like, I guess they were just going full Star Trek with it.
Yeah. And then he's like, welcome to a wonderful evening of theater and picking up after yourselves. We begin with a tribute to our lesser known presidents.
I actually love this song.
Love it so much.
I died in 30 days.
Presidents. You won't find our names on dollars or cents. There's William Henry Harrison. I died in 30 days. We are regrettable. What's it?
I can't actually remember the names now.
Occasionally regrettable. Caretaker President of the USA.
I love the music.
And then we get Bart playing around backstage.
Mooning.
Check out. Yeah.
Mooning the girls.
President. I am not a butt.
I actually did like that one. Because it's so not like. It doesn't even rhyme with crook. Like, I am not a butt.
But I like that as well. She's like, do you want to play John Wilkes Booth? Or do you want to run around like a maniac? That'll be good. And I kind of do remember when there was a play going on in school, or there'd be loads of messing backstage.
Oh, so much fun.
Yeah, it was great. Like,
the best part of the school plays was almost the backstage stuff, where, like, you know, all that stuff.
Backstage folly. Lisa comes in, Ralph barges in, and Lisa says she's sorry. And he says, leave me alone, I'm here to play George Washington. And then he gets in a wheelchair, puts on glasses and has a cigar pipe. Do you know who he's supposed to be there?
No.
He's FDR.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that joke went right over my head.
He thinks he's FDR. Like
Franklin Delano Romanowski.
So we cut over to Milhouse, and he's complaining of the beard giving him a rash.
Milhouse, you have one line and then you're shot. Now get out there.
I thought that civil war would never end. Now to suit by hand with an evening at Ford's Theater. Oh no, John Wilkes Booth!
Hasta la vista, AB.
I like how Homer is like, come on, boy, finish him off.
Everyone else is just so shocked. Like, yeah. He's there. Give it to him.
Yeah, he's like, you're next, Chester A. Arthur. And I like how he once grabbed, like, on hand, me Yankee.
But, like, I also like the sound of those balls popping out of the gun that he uses. Like,
pop, pop. Yeah, it's great. And then, basically, Skinner comes out, and now our evening comes to an end.
Woohoo!
With a thorough retelling of the life of George Washington.
Dope!
And we get Lisa as Martha asking, dear George Washington, can this liberty you dream of be worth all this bloodshed? And
well, can it?
Ralph is part. Is pondering it over a fireplace, and they really went all out.
Yeah, they made it like very epic.
Real flames on a child's stage.
I never actually noticed that. Proper fireplace.
Yeah. So then Lisa asks him, can we just give in to the British?
Never! That boy is magnificent.
It's the three bullies. I want to learn more about the founding fathers.
To the library.
It's like, dear Martha, I fear my time is at hand.
Oh, George.
Your broth, Mr. President.
Rex, this is the part that he gets. I ask for no broth. Away with you, lest my cane find your backside. Yes.
Yes.
He's so annoyed. And then you have the heartfelt, don't leave me, George. And then he's like, if I could take but one treasure with me to the next life, it would be your tender kiss. It's like, now that's a man.
Did you not find it was a bit weird that, like, Paddy and Selma...
Like, swooning over this child.
Getting hot and bothered for 8-year-old Ralph Wiggum.
Of all people. Ah, now that's a man.
And then, like, I like the Willie's like, I didn't cry when my own father was put down for stealing a pig, but I'll cry now. Might have came out a bit Jamaican there.
Yeah. I didn't cry, man, when my father was hung for stealing a pig. And then,
free the power, free the might. Come on, Willie, it's bobsled time.
And then the Mount Rushmore comes down, like they really went all out on this.
Like they get lifted up and it's like, from sea to shining sea.
And then ruins it with, thanks for coming. And don't forget to purchase some orange drink for the long ride home.
It's great that it was Teddy Roosevelt's one.
Yeah.
Glasses and the mustache.
And the fact that you can hear the mouth squeaking and all.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
So Ralph is a star and Lisa is outside. She's on the swings and Ralph comes over and she has a little present for him.
Let's be friends. You see, it says bee and there's a picture of a bee on it.
Yeah, I thought you'd like it.
Chief Wiggum, I like, it's an endless gag. Like, they go to the well with this a lot, but it always works. Where it's like, ah, oh, look at that. It's like, attention all units, riot in progress at not tonight.
Like that one as well, where it's Bleeding Gums Murphy.
Oh yeah.
It's like poison gas coming. Oh, that's pretty. And then it turns over to Bill and Marty wrapping up a beautiful President's Day.
To George and Abe and all the rest, here's a special song just for you.
Working in the lab late one night when my eyes.
Doggone it.
It comes full circle.
I like that.
Perfect way to end the episode.
It was.
Fantastic.
Right as they started it. Fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. Shall we scoot on into ratings?
Please.
How do you find the defender?
So let me ask you, Terry.
Yes.
How did you find this episode? Do you love this episode?
I wouldn't say... Oh, yeah, it's a great episode. I'm not going to drop the big L.
It was more because it's called I Love Lisa. Yeah, I was trying to think of something.
I knew what you were going for, mate. All right. I think it's fantastic. It's really well written and there's a lot of nice little moments in it. Some great gags as well. It really is... It could be in my top five for the season.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's not beating last week's episode.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great episode. I don't know if it's an all-time classic, though.
See, well...
I go back and forth. I really like it. It's a really sweet episode. It's a really good episode of TV. But in terms of the laughs, I noticed I didn't laugh out loud until maybe that itchy and scratchy joke.
See, I would kind of... Well, first of all, before I say, what would you give it out of 10 out of interest?
I give it a solid 8.55.
8.5? Is that 8. Your 5. Final answer?
8.55.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I have to say I would kind of disagree. I think I got the biggest laughs of the season on this episode.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, Homer falling off the thing early in the episode gave me a huge laugh. The principal Skinner, Johnny! Then all of Krusty's like, ugh. Chief Wiggum with the nuts. Like, as far as laughs go, like, I don't know if it'd be my favorite episode, but As far as laughs go, I think this probably gave me the most laugh. Now, I'd say a lot of those laughs were like the last, or like the first maybe 12, 13 minutes. The last 7 or 8 minutes was a little lighter on the laughs, but like I kind of thought it was a bit like, it was a bit odd that like it was so heavily, like it was almost like there was a subplot with the last 5 minutes, if you know what I mean, like the whole George Washington thing. It was almost like just a completely other story, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I know they were going with it throughout the episode, and you know, but it just seemed like
I think it's more that that's the crescendo of the whole thing with Lisa and Ralph. What I will say, because we always talk about like the B stories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like that for this episode, there isn't one major B story, but there's just these little vignettes.
Yeah.
Of like this little stuff bouncing off. The A story is strong enough that like, say it's like Bart, you know, watching the Krusty Show.
Or, yeah, yeah.
Homer gets Ralph to tar the roof, you know, little bits like that that are very strong and funny.
True.
You didn't actually need a whole subplot. Like, Marge is barely in the episode.
She is, actually, isn't she? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
She really is.
You know, and you get, I was saying, like, you get strong, you get introduced to Wiggum, that dynamic between Ralph and Clancy. you get a good bit of Krusty, you get a good bit of Skinner.
Yeah, plenty of Krusty in this episode.
Yeah, so who would your MVP? Oh, actually, give me a rating for
Ooh.
It. He gave me the rating.
I would give it an 8.8. I choose 8.8 out of 10.
Choose as your MVP.
My MVP, I've got to give it to Krusty on this one. Just so many classic, or just even like him, like I just had the image of him sitting with his shoulders hunched with that monkey on his head, like, so why do they call it a urine monkey? Like, I was already laughing before the obvious gag was coming, but like a urine monkey, like, why do you think they call him that? Like, oh, I just found out. How about yourself?
I'm gonna go with Wiggum, just for that nuts scene, and then that other scene with Krusty, where, you know, the pornography.
Yeah.
And then Nathan gets chocolate out. See?
Yeah, it's definitely between those two.
Jason and the duck. Like, Skinner is a dark horse as well.
Yeah.
Just, he has fewer scenes, but they're all quality.
They're all great.
Homer as well. Like, you know, he doesn't have a load of scenes in it, but it's some, you know, he's killing it as well in this episode.
He has been. He's been your MVP the last few episodes as well.
Yeah, I know. I was tempted, just like I was saying, I love that line reading of, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Even like you say, like, you know, this, you know, married to the sea.
I'm married to the sea.
Good stuff all around. And, you know, Lisa and Bart weren't too annoying.
Yeah.
I know they can take the grade on us.
There was a lot more options for MVP in this one than previous ones. And a lot of ones, although we usually pick different ones every time, there's usually, you know, not too many standout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's one or two obvious standouts, should I say. Whereas this one, you could have picked like 4 or 5 MVPs.
Yeah.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it, I have to say. I was pleasantly surprised by this episode as to how much I laughed. I don't know if it's even for quantity of laughs, but the loudness of laughs, if that makes sense. Or I was really like laughing hard at some bits in this that I didn't think a season 4 episode of The Simpsons could make me do after seeing it so many times, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But thoroughly enjoyed it.
Shall we get our plugs in, Andy?
Please.
Say goodbye to everybody.
Where can they find us, Terry?
You can find us on Facebook at Put It In H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. Go over there and give us a like. We normally put up pictures and video clips during the week just to let you know what's coming. Are we on any other social media formats?
Funny you should ask, Terry. Yes, we are. We are on Twitter at Put It In H Podcast. And where we also play, well, we also obviously put up the new episodes. We also share other funny Simpsons related things. We will stick up a little gif of the upcoming episodes of some favorite sort of scenes from it. So Give us a follow on that. You can find us on iTunes, Put It In H Podcast, and any other good podcast apps. Just search Put It In H Podcast and we'll pop right up there. And
like the show, tell a friend even if you can't, subscribe, give us a rating and review, 5 stars
only. You know the drill, people.
At this stage you should. And last but not least, you can email us at putinh.
Please email us.
gmail.com. That's putinhpod@gmail.com. Please email us.
Please, for the love of God, email us.
We do enjoy getting your questions, and it's really a good time filler at the start of the episode. I mean, it's nice to have a
I mean, it's nice to hear what people think.
Absolutely.
And thank you as well for all the overseas listeners that have been listening in the last while. We have people from the UK, the US, France, Japan, as we said, Spain. Actually, in the last week, we've had more listens from the UK than in Ireland, which I thought was quite nice. So thank you for everyone who's listening.
Unbelievable. Ingrates in this country. Yeah. Don't know where they're born.
We'll be appreciated after we're gone, Terry.
Yeah. What do we got next week, Andy?
We have the 16th episode of the 4th season, Duffless, where Homer tries to go sober. Another all-time classic. So I look forward to that one. And it's been a pleasure as always, Terry.
Do you know how to get out of work, Catwell?
I don't.
If the plant you wish to flee, go to Sector 7B.
I didn't know where you were going with that one. Well, good advice for everyone listening,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. Words to live your life by.
Well, until next time.
See ya.
So long, suckers.
Thanks for coming. And don't forget to purchase some orange drink for the long ride home.
Dance, dance, dance. Do all those hits I remember. I'm your friendly disc jockey trying to tell you.